Amen. All right.
Lord, here's a
God bless you to give. In Jesus' name.
All out in sin, I had no hope, no peace within. Down on my knees, in agony, I cried to Jesus and he gladly heard my plea. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my heart fell away. It left me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout for he's everything to thee. For I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my heart rolled away. It makes me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout for he's everything. For I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my heart roll away. It makes me happy, glad and free. I'm singing shouting for he's every day.
It is just wonderful to have Brother and Sister Price, our kids, grandkids. And you know, I wouldn't mind, in the lesson today I was teaching about Seth and how he became a father and then a grandfather and still living and then a great-grandfather and still living and then a great-great-grandfather and still living and a great-great-great-grandfather. And I could go on till it got monotonous, but 8 times, maybe 9, I know 8 times, that old man like to never died and enjoyed all of those children. We got a lot more singers that could be singing tonight, but we've got Sister Debbie and Brother Richie's going to play the drums probably with her, and kids all may be going to sing. I don't know whether they're raising up a choir or a ball team, but they're doing all right, aren't they? God bless them. Brother Richard Price, come. And worship God with Brother Price. Let's stand and honor him as he comes to the pulpit.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Well, I like what I'm feeling tonight. Thank the Lord. And it feels like I'm around folks who like what we're feeling together. Praise the Lord. God is. It's not just words. He is great. Thank the Lord. And I think if we believe he is great, I believe then we ought to praise him in a very great fashion. Hallelujah. He's been good. I'm in a great way. I'm going to tell him he's been good to me. And that's from the very utmost. There's no reserving love. There's nothing that is set back. I love you, Lord. More than anything you could ever name, I love you because you've been good. Hallelujah. Why don't we all just lift our hands and just praise him for a moment together? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. You may be seated. Bless you. We're so thrilled to be here this evening. We had an afternoon service today. Brother Rao was with us last night, and we had a great time in the Lord. And he preached, and then when he was through, he preached some more. And he kept on preaching. But he started out, and I'm not saying that wrong, but he started out saying that he was not a long-winded preacher. And at the end of an hour, I was not sure if I really believed him or not, if he really was or not. I didn't know what his definition of long-winded really was, but he preached. And we had a great time. But I'd like to say for us, some of you who visited our church, we had in excess of 100 people there last night and had about that this afternoon in our service.
Praise the Lord.
And so we're thrilled for what God's doing. And I am just excited about what I feel here. Thank the Lord. If building the church will make this excitement, I think we ought to all start building the church until the bills start coming in, Brother Charles. And then somehow the excitement sometimes is, you know, and I'm glad. We're just glad tonight. Worship the Lord with my wife as she sang. Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm really happy to be here tonight, and I'm excited about what God is doing. Everywhere I look and everywhere I turn, there is revival in the land for God's chosen people, those that are standing for the truth. And it seems like He's showing the world those that aren't. And I'm thankful to be living in the day that we can stand up and be proud, that we can say we're in Jesus' name and we're all working for the Lord. And I'm just glad that you're building a new building. And Mark or Paul told me a while ago, he said, "Mama, we need a church just like this so we can get more people in it." So maybe we can do something about that too. Y'all worship the Lord. This old house I'm living in is needing repair. The windows and the shutters are letting in the cold, cold air. I say to myself, I'm gonna fix him. When I can't get the time, but all I've been getting lately is leaving all my mind. Lately all I've got is leaving all my mind. Oh, it seems that's all I've been thinking about most of the time. Soon and very soon I'll leave my troubles so far behind. For lately I can leave it, leaving all my mind. I guess I should be looking for a better place to live. Oh, I just can't seem to get excited about this world and what it can give. Oh, I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with a solitary dime. All I've got is leaving on my mind. Oh, it seems that's all I've been thinking about most of the time. How soon and very, very soon I'll leave my troubles so far behind. Lately I've got leaving. Oh, lately I've got leaving. Lately I've got leaving. Leaving on my mind.
Hallelujah. Thank God I don't have this world so wrapped around me that there's nothing here that I'm afraid to leave behind. Thank the Lord. A man in our church told me the other day that this they said it happened in his hometown, said that their volunteer fire department bought a new fire engine that they were in dire need of. And it wasn't long until there was a fire not far outside of town.
It was a field that had caught on fire. It wasn't real bad to begin with, but they called the volunteer fire department because it was sweet and close to some houses. So they got a hold of all their men, and they started out to the fire. They got out there and parked the truck and started the hoses out, and all of a sudden it hit them that someone forgot to fill the tanks up. And so they took the brand new fire and they went back into town and filled the tank up, and fire was still was gone. They got back out to the field and started the hoses out again, and to their surprise, someone who had filled them up some way didn't close the cap, and they were out of water. Now, it's a brand new truck, the first fire they had to use it at and show what they could do at putting out a fire. By the time they raced back to town, filled it up, and come back out, that not-so-bad fire was a raging fire now. It was getting close to some homes, and so they drove out in the midst of the field, and as they were bringing the hoses out, a gust of wind was blowing that fire in a very fast way to the truck. So one of the firemen with a brand new truck jumped in the truck and tried to get it started with the pumps working, and there was too much stress on the battery, and he killed the battery. And that fire engulfed the truck, and the firemen ran for their lives, and that small town still looking for a new fire truck. I'm going to tell you, if you can't depend on the fire department to put out a fire, you got trouble.
Yeah.
But there's one thing I know. I have one that I can depend on. Thank God. I can depend on. Hallelujah. I want us to sing one verse in the chorus of a song, and I felt this in the moment we walked in this service tonight. But it just says, the verse says, 'Tis the sweet and glorious thought that comes to me, I'll live on. Hallelujah, I'll live on. Why don't we stand together? I'd like to sing that and just reach out. It's 2:11. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it together. Hallelujah. What is the sweet and glorious thought that comes to me? I live on. Oh, I live on. For Jesus' sake, from death and death, I am free. I live on. Oh, I live on. Oh, I live on. Oh, I live on.
I live on.
Through eternity, I live on. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I'm going to read tonight, if you have your Bibles and would care to follow along, out of the book of Amos. The book of Amos, the minor prophet. And I'd like to read the third chapter and verse 12. Praise the Lord. Chris, there's a lot of talk. I know that you hear a lot of people making statements about your being here and how thrilled everyone is. It's not anyone trying to swell your head or make you set out or aside, but there's been so many prayers going up for you. Before you were sick enough to be in the hospital, there was another sickness that everyone was trying to heal and trying to reach. And every time one of the children take out our wedding pictures, over the last several years, I've had to think about Chris. We got a picture of him lighting the candles at our wedding. And I've looked at those pictures, and knowing how a mess really his life was in and was getting in, And I've prayed a lot of prayers, and it's just such a thrill to see you here.
Yes.
But the thing of it is, we're all, every one of us, we're in the same condition. But through the love and the mercy and the grace of God, she's brought us where we are today. Hallelujah. Sitting in an apostolic church, worshiping a living God, heaven bound. Thank God. I've got a lot to sing about. I've got a lot to rejoice about. Thank God He saved me. Thank God He saved me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amos chapter 3 and verse 12. And I, this is what I feel in my heart tonight. I don't know how a lot of preachers do, but if I've got to feel something in order to preach it. And this is what, after praying and looking into this service, the direction that I feel from the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out two legs or a piece of an ear. And what I would like tonight, in the fear of God, and just for a short while, I'd like to preach to us, and I pray, touch us. Rescue what you can. Rescue what you can. I'd like everyone in this building tonight, if you have a loved one that's possibly in this building and they're not saved, or if you have a soul, just one soul that you could get on your heart right now, that is not ready for the coming of the Lord, and you know you've got to reach them, I'd like you right now to go to the Lord with me and ask God to somehow talk to us, and then somehow talk to them in the near future, that we can see the work of God progress and the kingdom of God multiplied in this day. Would you take one soul with me and let's go to the Lord right now, God? Hallelujah. We're yours. We are of yours. We belong to you. God, the work is great. The hour is growing ever late. But God, we belong to a God who never runs out of resource. We belong to a God who is more than able to take care of our needs and to supply everything that we need. God, I pray right now that your power, your grace, your glory, your might, and your love would reach into hearts. Save the lost. 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 Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. If there's one primary thought that we can reach out of the Bible or pull out of the Bible on a consistent basis, New Testament, as we stand upon the gospel, it is the fact that my Savior came to seek and to save that which was lost. He loved the world. He loved mankind. And it's His heart's feeling. As we sit here in a service and we get excited, and I love it, but we talk about a great city and streets of gold, and we talk about what's coming, but it's the true feeling of God to allow all of this to take us and turn us to reach for that one more lost, one more soul. Hallelujah. If there'd be 50 that would receive the Holy Ghost in a given period of time, there's always one more that my God is wanting to reach for. And if for some reason I should find myself sitting back in a moment of ease and of satisfaction and saying, we have done a great thing and we are doing a great work, and if that contentment should ever
catch me away. There's still the feeling of God that'll continually come to us and say, child, there's one more. Reach one more. And I am confident that the God that I serve and I'm soon to see, that He will never be satisfied until the last is brought in or until He calls us home. Hallelujah. Rescue what you can. What you can. Hallelujah. This verse of Scripture starts out, and I enjoy reading verses that, and I don't care where it's found in what book, but where it starts out, thus saith the Lord. First of all, if I've got confidence in the man, if I have confidence in the writer of the Word of God, if I can say that whether it's an Amos or a Samuel, it doesn't matter. But if I have confidence in the man's life and the God he serves, then every time he writes those words, thus saith the Lord. He is laying down Amos, and he's picking up God, and he's getting ready to give us something that's not from man, but it's from God. Hallelujah. But Amos writes to his people in his day, and he gives us an illustration. And for just a verse, one verse of Scripture, the Lord gives us the opportunity to see the scene of humanity as God sees it. As God sees it. And as he reaches out, the scene that God gives us is a scene of a shepherd that leaves his homeland. It's a shepherd that is walking. It doesn't matter the size of the flock, the number. That isn't important at all. But he's taking his flock, his sheep, and he's going out to pasture. He's doing the work of the shepherd. And as he is out in the fields many days from his homeland, with his protective eye upon the little sheep that he is responsible for, I am able to see that off in a distance, and for right now, unbeknownst to the shepherd, in the hillsides, there's a hungry lion that stalks the sheep. It's his prey. And he waits for a moment when the shepherd is not where at the time to protect the sheep. And he says, I'm going to get one of those lambs. And the scene as it goes on, that lion, it wouldn't be the very moment that he sees the sheep. But as the days go by, after several days, and that lion is growing hungrier, and he's ready to devour and pounce upon that lamb. One lamb strays from the flock. You know, if sometimes people could only understand why the pastor preaches to the church the way he does sometimes. They could only understand why he says, let's not do this, or let's not do that, or let's be careful. If they could only comprehend why it's being preached that way. It's the shepherd trying to keep the lambs or the sheep close enough to him and close enough to the fold. There's protection in the fold, in the house of God. There's safety. But if you ever leave the house of God, then friend, you're on the lion's territory. You're in his playground. And he's the master outside of the fold. The lamb is its strays. Whatever reason, very likely there was some grass that had an appearance that it was greener. And I'm afraid, or I'm ashamed to even say, but hell will be filled with souls that for just a moment's time said, something looks better, something looks greener, and they strayed from where they should have been. That lamb in its effort or its endeavor to say, well, I'm going to step away from the flock. And as he trails behind, and the shepherd thinking everything's fine, you couldn't blame the shepherd for this incident. The sheep walk on, the little lamb pays no attention, and it is eating on what it thinks is better grass. And as the shepherd walks around the bend in the road, that lion who has had an eye on the lamb and an eye on the shepherd, at the right moment when the shepherd's out of sight, the lion goes into action. Before the shepherd realizes the lamb's missing, the lion jumps on that lamb with its massive jaws. It takes a firm hold and it starts to run. The little lamb cries out for the help. Only the shepherd could hear that cry. A hideous, pathetic cry. All of a sudden, the lamb realizes, I'm in trouble. I can't get away from the lion. And with that, the lion runs. With the lamb in its mouth, he runs looking for a place to hide from the shepherd. The shepherd leaves his flock. And he runs after the lamb. He manages to catch up with the lion. And without regard to his life, he pulls out the shepherd's rod. And he uses it as a club. And he starts to beat the lion until the lion yields to the shepherd. And when the lion dies, as the lion falls out, the shepherd reaches into the mouth of the lion. It's a bloody scene. The blood of that lamb is all over the face of that lion. And as that shepherd, not in a I told you so attitude, but with tears, sobbing, this was my lamb. I was supposed to watch out for it. The shepherd reaches down and takes hold of that old lion's mouth. And as he opens the mouth, there's not much left. The Bible said as he reaches into the mouth of the lion to take out two legs or a piece of an ear. It isn't much. It isn't much. But God gives us the scene. God has recorded it in eternal pages that the shepherd will endeavor to slay the lion even for two legs or a small piece of an ear. To the casual observant, as you look at the scene, if you were standing off, my first reaction to the scripture was one of, why bother? What? You know, when the mouth locked around that lamb, it was all over. The shepherd couldn't race fast enough to catch that speedy lion. By the time he managed to catch him, it was over. The lamb would be dead. Didn't you know that, shepherd? Why bother? But you know, that is exactly what the lion would want you to think. Why bother? The lion would prefer the shepherd not to come. The lion would prefer the shepherd to have in his mind, there's no way to save them. And even if you can, there's nothing worth saving. The lion's had them long enough. The lion's had them enough time that there's not much left. But again, I want to give you Amos. Thus saith the Lord. The shepherd said, I'm going to rescue whatever I can from that lion. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. I am so glad. My life, that God is in such a merciful way filled with His Spirit. I don't take my experience with God lightly. I don't take the Holy Ghost and the walk with God that He's given me in a lighthearted manner. When we walk into church and sing, I promise you, my heart is one. I want the best singing. I want every congregational song to be sung to the best of my ability. I want the music to play the sweetest. They don't have to be the best musicians, but play the best they can. And I want the preaching of the Word of God. I don't care if it's someone's first message. I want it to be the best they can give to God, because I'm walking with the God who saved me. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. There's nothing. There isn't anything that God could ask of me that's beyond my giving Him. Because He's given me everything. Everything. But I'm glad when I read this verse of Scripture, I'm so glad that God shows us He looks at the scene the way He looks at it. I'm glad that I can see that God is even ready to rescue the fragments of a life, the torn parts of a life, the almost nothings of a life. There's not one soul that's beyond the hand of God. There's not one life that's too far that God can't bring them in. Hallelujah! Thank God. Hallelujah. There's nothing left. I've read this verse of Scripture several times, and every time I read it, there's something that starts to churn inside. Two legs. Two out of four legs. Just a small part of an ear. The vital organs are gone. The lamb's dead. You don't have life. The lamb is gone. But the way God shows this to me, even God in His unsearchable love, God said, I'm willing to fight the lion to pull this out and rescue whatever's left of you. Whatever is left of you. Hallelujah. Rescue what you can. You see, this is important to me because there was a time. I don't want to be in this church so many years that I forget there was a time I was lost. I don't want to be in this church so many years. I've had the Holy Ghost over 25 years out of my 35 years of life. But I don't want to say I've lived for Him so long until I forget the fact there was a time the lion had me. But I can sing the song tonight. Jesus rescued me. Jesus rescued me. Hallelujah! When it appeared like there was no use trying, Jesus slew the lion and pulled me out. Hallelujah. One songwriter wrote it. All of my confusion, He understood. My nothingness, my brokenness. What can you do with two legs or a piece of an ear? I can't do anything with it. But God, who created it all, if you can lay the fragments of a torn, wretched life and let it come to an altar, God can give those fragments a life. Hallelujah! 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 Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! It does not escape the beauty nor the mercy of God to recreate a life from mere nothing. From mere nothing. This church is filled tonight with souls that if the lion had had its way, you wouldn't be here tonight. It's filled with souls that by all rights, you don't deserve to be sitting in the presence of God. But God rescued you. God pulled you out. God took broken lives and broken homes. God took fragmented lives, torn, miserable existence. God took the nothing that you had to offer. And He said, lion, you're not going to get away with it. And He slew the lion. And then He rescued your life. Hallelujah. Don't tell me that I have a right to ever step in the house of God and fail to thank God for saving me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah. 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 Sola moria sandolo moria rosandolo la mochandale de lo balana la la. Iria mochandolo moria mochandale de rusale lo moria na la na la ya la. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. We were nothing when we came to God. Tonight, I don't care how old or young we may have been. Tonight, we sat in an apostolic church and God first touched our hearts. We were nothing. We didn't have anything to offer Him. What we are tonight, sitting in the splendor of the Holy Ghost atmosphere. Some of you, and I watched as these young folks sung tonight, you parents ought to be so thrilled that God was merciful enough to reach your children through you. You ought to be thrilled to see your children in the house of God. Hallelujah! You couldn't do that! It took a caring God to save your family. And I feel to say this, and I don't know situations, but there's some of you parents that you better be on your guard. You have young children that have not yet at an age that really they're able to go ahead on their own. And if you tip the scales and show them the lion has more to offer, I promise you, there'll be a day you'll weep over your lost children. And it'll be because you led them in the wrong direction. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. You see, the thing that touched me, I feel like the church could easily stand as the shepherd underneath the chief shepherd. The lion is the enemy of the flock, Satan. The lamb that's trained, that's in the mouth of the lion, it's lost souls. And I'm going to ask you tonight, can we afford the luxury of sitting in the safety of the flock and hearing the cries of the lost as the lion carries them away? And as they scream, as they're dying, and we know through the Word of God that in all eternity they will suffer. They will spend an eternity in the hell that has been created for Satan. Can we, and I'm just asking you a question, can we listen to the cries of a little lamb that's running? Well, you know, I've heard sometimes people where they almost sound mean about the lost. Yeah, they ought to know better. Yeah, they ought to. But that doesn't ease my pain. That doesn't make me as part of a shepherd. That doesn't make it any easier for me to say, go ahead and devour them, lion. I still, even though they should know better, I still feel the pain. I still can't cause the cries to stop. I still can't sit back and say, I don't want to do anything. I still have to say, my work is the church. Is chasing the lion. My work is doing my best to slay the lion. And then whatever we can do when we assemble in the house of God, I hope somehow there can be some fragmented lives that we can bring back and say, miracle God, recreate a life out of this nothing. Take this drunkard and make a life out of it. Take this woman chaser and make a life out of it. Take this lost soul and make a life out of it. Hallelujah. My Lord. My Lord. Hallelujah. I could name so many of you tonight. I wasn't here when many of you came into the church. But I've talked and I enjoy so much because there's such a love in my heart for this church. But I love talking with Brother Rutledge and hearing about how some of you came into church. You see, I've heard of the Joe Jacksons who really was, it wasn't a good environment to try even work on you to get you in church. But God looked beyond us. He said, go after them. Hallelujah. And I could scan this congregation. There's several of you that I know. Several of you that I know where you were and what you were. And with nothing, almost gone, the church, through the grace of God, was able to rescue you. What about the lost? What about our family? If you're a mother or father in this church tonight, and I can't think of anything, and I don't just pray for our own, but I think that to me the greatest sorrow that I could ever face would be to think that one of my children would be lost in all eternity. I can't think of anything that would strike me any worse than that. I'll do anything I can to keep my boys at their age now even away from learning to love this world. It's not that I'm a mean dad, but I love them and I don't want to see them lost. But if you're a mother or a father tonight in this church and you have children that ought to have the Holy Ghost by now and they don't, maybe they don't even come to church, you ought to be on your face, because whether you want to view it or face it or look at it or not, your child is literally being eaten alive. And there's coming a day, right now, there's hope to save them. Right now. And again, and forgive me, but Chris sitting on the front row is a prime example. It looked like there was no way to bring him out. But thank to God, the lion's dead. And it might have been a couple of legs or a small piece of an ear. But God filled it with the Holy Ghost. God breathed life. And that little piece became a living soul for the glory of God. And your family that's wandering, lost. Your loved ones, your mother, your father, your friends that's wandering, lost. That it looks as though it's impossible. That's exactly what the enemy wants us to think. But it's not beyond the touch of God. It's not beyond the touch of God. And then I'm going to say this, I won't be long. But it's beyond my comprehension. I do not understand how people can know about God and turn their backs on God. How they can enjoy feeling what the church feels and then ignore what they know they're supposed to do and they're supposed to feel. And knowing that eternity is real. Knowing The lion is real. They volunteer. They step out of the fold and they walk to the path of the waiting lion. And they say, it looks better over here. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're in this building, and there may not be any, but if you're in this building, I want, as the voice of a shepherd tonight, I want to warn you, we don't want you to leave the fold. There's danger. There's danger. Hallelujah. Stand with me tonight, if you would, please. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and God's speaking to hearts tonight. Our ears need to become sensitive to hear the distant cry of the dying lamb. Our hearts need to be open to feel what they're feeling. The psalmist David, in the 119th Psalm, there's a scripture that would go along with this. The psalmist cries out. He said, seek thy servant. He said, I have gone astray like a lost lamb. Seek thy servant. I don't forget your commandments, he said, but come find me. Come help me. If there's someone tonight in this building that is not where you need to be in God, either you have not yet received an experience of the Holy Ghost, or maybe you have and you've run away with it. I don't know if you can still feel the control that the church should have on your life or not. But if you can still feel the touch of God, then I want to ask you tonight. We want to find you. We're looking for you. We want you to be saved. We don't want to see you destroyed. We don't want to see you in hell. And I'm asking you tonight, we're willing to fight the lion with you, but you've got to cry out so we know where you're at, so we know who to reach for. And if you're here tonight and you're not standing in God where you ought to, this is not a game playing time. This is not something I can take a chance with. This is my eternity. I ask you in the fear of God, would you step out as this church is praying? If you need a touch of God, would you step out as this church cries? If you need the Holy Ghost, would you come tonight? We're trying to rescue you. Time is the enemy of the church. Time! We've got to get to you before it's too late. Would there be someone else that would come and stand with us tonight? Would there be someone else that would come tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray, church. Pray, church. We're reaching in the lion's mouth. We're reaching in the lion for you tonight. Would you come? Would you come? There are others that need to be here tonight. Please don't play games with God. Please don't play with God. Serve Him. Love Him. Cry to Him. God's here. Please come. Please come. Please come. Someone else tonight.
Come on, come with the saints of God. Come right on. Play. Play with Brother Junior here. Get on now. Others, pour your heart out to God tonight. Receive the blessings of the Lord. You that may have to leave early, we are so glad that you came. But if you have time, spend some time in prayer with us. Around the altar. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. God richly bless you.
Don't let me be lost.
be saved. Don't let me be lost for eternity.